The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary, not valid for McDelivery.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary, not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Brewski, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
This case just keeps getting weirder and darker and more twisted, and we're going to take a look at the legal end of it, however that may or may not play out. Of course, the death of 18-year-old Anna Kempner is what we're talking about. It's one of the most complicated cases, I think, of the year so far, not because investigators don't know where to look, but because the only people inside that cabin were members of the same blended family. We have Anna found concealed under a bed, a 16-year-old step-sibling publicly identified as a suspect, a stepmother invoking the Fifth Amendment, conflicting accounts inside the family, custody filings referencing potential criminal charges, a family in total collapse, and now this. Anna's grandmother says the 16-year-old doesn't remember what happened and was an emotional wreck. That opens an entirely different set of legal possibilities. So today, I want to go through every realistic path that this case could take, not assuming a trial, not assuming charges, not assuming intent, but breaking down what the law actually allows in situations like this. Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, is with us to do just that. Bob, in a situation where an 18-year-old is found concealed and the only other person within close proximity is the 16-year-old step-sibling, what are all the broad legal scenario investigators are weighing right now?
Well, since they're essentially getting stonewalled from at least portions of the family, that makes it tougher. Yeah. You've got grandma coming in with her. I mean, I how does grandma know that he doesn't remember shit?
Right.
You know, I mean, like that, yeah. That's the first thing, but stripping away the problems that investigators are going to have getting information from inside those cabins. Okay. Like from the family, They're going to really have to kind of try to piece it together in terms of video from the cruise ship, which I'm sure they're very actively compiling. If they haven't got it all already, they're going to have to follow the best they can where Anna was. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to have to build that timeline out, because here's like the legal scenarios. It was either an accident and then panic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like something happens, like they seem kind of old to be roughhousing to the point where, you know, like somebody falls, hits her head. Oh my God, I didn't mean to, you know, have her hit her head. She's bleeding out. What the fuck should I do? You know, you've got the potential for a medical emergency that was mishandled. You've got, again, just like maybe a fight that broke out between the two of them, whatever the hell's going on in that family. And again, something happens where the intent to kill wasn't there, you know, that it was a physical altercation, but, you know, the end goal wasn't to kill somebody. You've got impairment, you know, drugs, alcohol. You've got the issue of trying to get the kid evaluated, like to see if this trauma-induced memory loss thing is like real. You know, there's obviously the possibility of intentional harm, you know, and then probably the least likely, unless it's same cruise ship that Amy Bradley was on and you got the dude, the dancer.
Is he still dancing all these years later?
Yeah.
It's encore time.
Third party involvement. But
yeah,
that seems the most unlikely considering the concealment of her body.
You know? Bob, can I throw something in here? Before we get rolling on Anna and the stepbrother here, does the cruise line itself have any legal exposure here in this? Because did they have policies talking about who could be rooming in a specific cabin? These are two unrelated. Well, they're related, but they're unrelated biologically, teens sharing a cabin. I would think there would be some rules against that. Maybe.
No. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Did they get two cabins?
There was multiple cabins, and it looks like it was, you know, when you have, you're traveling with children and it's a blended family, it's not a crazy scenario that, okay, the teens are staying in this room together. Now, was it a bad decision to put the 18-year-old with the 16-year-old boy if there had been awareness of allegations that he was making her feel uncomfortable in some way, shape, or form, if there had been any sort of history or pattern of behavior, which according to the boyfriend of now 18-year-old deceased Anna Kempner, there was. The boyfriend has said publicly that he had tried to warn the family that there he was on a video chat with her one night, and that the boyfriend had come in and basically tried to mount her in fewer terms, and that
you mean
she was horrified
at
this man.
The stepbrother,
not the boyfriend.
No, that the stepbrother, the 16-year-old, had done this. That's the allegation. That's the claim that's been made by the boyfriend about the stepbrother, that this warning had been communicated some time ago and that it was kind of brushed off as, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah.
To the family, though. Right.
That's the allegation. Now, we can't confirm that, but that's what he has said publicly. So I would think that if there's any liability here, it certainly, if someone dies on your property, you're liable. Doesn't fucking matter how it happened.
Sure.
There is some liability there. Is there any liability for parents putting teenagers in a blended family in a cruise? No, none whatsoever. That's fucking normal. But is there liability, you know, towards the parents a bit? But then who's suing? who's getting who in trouble for something like that? What could be happening there? You can have another parent that may be looking at this from the outside. Although in this scenario, I don't know that you're necessarily going to have that, considering mom has pretty much all but, you know, written herself out of her daughter's life. It doesn't really seem like it's a scenario where someone's going to be coming back after dad or whoever made the rooming lodging choices in this sort of scenario.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the cruise line itself, I there's no criminal liability, you know, they didn't commit a crime. So the only thing that you're thinking about in this scenario is civil liability if they're exposed civilly. Yep. I mean, if they violated, and it sounds like Tony may have looked up to see if there was any kind of, I mean, because these weren't like, you know, a 7 and 8 year old. These were older teens. Like Tony said, that's super commonplace. I don't know if the cabins were connected, you know, by an interior door. But you know, that is not uncommon. I mean, we stick our kids in the same, you know, that we have the adult room when we get two rooms in a hotel, and we put our kids, you know, in their own room, usually connected so that we can, you know, hang out with each other at will. But, in that situation, unless there's a violated policy, or if say, for instance, Anna didn't feel comfortable talking to anybody in her family about being stuck in the room with her stepbrother, but went to somebody on the ship and said, like, my parents stuck me in this room with this kid and he fucking scares the shit out of me. Like, so if the boat, anybody on the boat was put on notice and they ignored it, potentially, then you're talking about, there's some potential issues for liability that could bear some fruit. I mean, the other thing is that the family or say, for instance, you know, they caught something on video, you know, that somebody noticed or somebody saw something out when they were milling about in one of the, you know, 20 dance clubs on the boat or somewhere that there's, you know, the public is out there in the activities and, you know, and somebody noticed something off and said something to the ship. And they're like, well,
sure.
Like I saw something and it may be nothing. It might be something, but you know, so if they find out if there's notice to which, you know, you're really not going to know through civil litigation until you get the discovery, but you know, you're going to find out through the criminal investigation. You know, so that like if somebody is charged and shit starts coming out that Anna had gone to somebody and said something to somebody and the boat was on notice, then, you know, I mean, then at that point, the cruise lines are going to try to settle this shit quickly under the table.
But right there, at the end of the day, though, if Anna had, which, again, it seems unlikely, but if she did go to with somebody on the boat, one staff member on the cruise ship, and said, hey, my stepbrother makes me feel uncomfortable and I'm stuck in this room with him, the cruise line isn't necessarily responsible for getting you another cabin. That's a family matter. That is an issue that I would imagine the cruise liner would be like, well, you got to kind of go deal with your family on this. You have a cruise and this is a room. Maybe should the cruise line contact the adults? Should probably be appropriate without a doubt, but it's not also an automatic, hey, here's a free room.
Sure.
You know, like none of that's going to take place. And what is the family going to do? Stop doing this shit to each other and get along.
Right.
You know, that's probably the extent of it. If in fact that ever would have happened, the only other area I can think of potential liability for the cruise, if it were to go anywhere criminal, and this is pure speculation, and no way am I saying that this took place or not, would be, is if that 16-year-old had any substances in his body that were given to him by the cruise ship, meaning alcohol. I mean, or anything else for that matter. But if he was somehow sneaking alcohol, getting alcohol illegally, they are pretty tight on that on cruise ships these days. It's not as easy as it once was when, you know, in like the 80s or the 90s, everything is, you know, you got to have a card. It's not to say that an adult couldn't sneak it for you and do that. You know, the cruise ship would probably hold some sort of liability even there too. Or port of calls too.
No, where did they stop? Like, I'm not familiar with.
I don't have that in front of me. I do not know the answer.
Because I mean, you've always got that situation where off. Yep. You know, they got some bad blow somewhere. Like if it was in the Western Caribbean, you know, and they got off somewhere, bought a bad, got a bad bag of fentanyl laced cocaine. They're doing
like you
it
do
together.
With your family.
Right. I mean, but it's like, you know, theoretically, it could have been the kids, the two teens, you know, out there, not with the family. They're out. Yeah. I mean, who knows, man? I mean, there's like obviously the toxicology and the autopsy. Do we even know what the cause of death was at this point?
We do now. And it is asphyxiation by a strain, by the chokehold type thing.
Wow.
So we do know that is what took place. To me, when you look at this in terms of who caused the death, obviously she didn't do this to herself.
Right.
If you're strictly looking at the cameras, and I'm sure there are cameras. I mean, I hope to God there are. I've been surprised in many other cases where it's like, what do you mean there's no cameras? If there's cameras facing down that hallway, which I can't imagine there isn't, they're going to see who came and went from that door. There's also the key cards that are going to tell you who came and went from that room.
Right.
That's going to narrow this down pretty quick as far as who possibly was in this room and who did this. I don't know that it's
and
going
when?
To be a huge question. Exactly.
You guys, I thought I had read that it was just, they only saw that it was those two people going in and out of that room. I thought I read that on People
Well,
magazine.
That's, I mean, that pretty much narrows it down because,
doesn't it?
Yeah, there's not a lot of other options unless the rooms are connected and someone came in from a side or someone scaled the outside of the ship balcony,
which I do a lot on cruise ships.
That's fun. I do after I get my shitty bag of fentanyl laced cocaine, I'm always on the side of the cruise ship, you know, just scaling it. It's like Adventures in Babysitting, but on a carnival.
Exactly.
But the thing that's the thing, it's going to be pretty clear cut. I think who's involved in this, it's going to be more the question of, was this premeditated? Was this intentional? Was this a horrible accident? And then what occurred after, because obviously there was an intent to conceal in this point. This wasn't a holy shit, we were horsing around, I was being an asshole or whatever, and I took it too far and now she's not breathing. That would be a horrible accident that could be dealt with immediately. Probably not even murder charges. The fact that there was concealment, how much does that change the dynamics of this? Had someone just said, oh my God, we need help, this went horribly wrong, versus let's go take a nap and shove her under here with some life vests.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge factor, right? I mean, like obviously the easiest charge is going to be the concealment.
Yeah.
In terms of them trying to figure out what exactly they're going to charge anybody with is far more difficult in terms of the cause of her death. You know, because I mean, there's obviously involuntary manslaughter, which to me, considering that the kid's 16, assuming that he would be the one that was charged, that's the most likely, you know, that it was reckless conduct without intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there's manslaughter, you know, heat of passion type thing, like some, you know, they're in the middle of it, they get into some screaming match and he just does some shit like not even thinking, you know, there's you know, clearly negligent homicide, which is essentially criminal negligence. Mm-hmm. You know, the concealment of the corpse to me is probably, you know, what they're going to start with in order to try to get some answers. You know, I mean, like they're dying to get these, you know, these people into a room, I'm sure. And as we know, mom has pulled a buzzard and is clamped up. So you're not hearing anything from her. You know, there's tampering with evidence. You know, there's obviously, you know, murder with intent, second degree murder. That's a higher bar, you know, and I don't think you're ever going to see a first degree premeditated on this thing. I think whatever happened here is something that just kind of popped up in the spur of the moment, you know.
How difficult does this make it for investigators and the state when they're trying to look at this, if this is, you know, in fact, a murder, second degree or whatever it may be, when you traditionally, you know, your victims, your survivors of this, the ones who would be rooting for let's figure this out, let's get justice for our loved one who has died here, are part of the same family, are part of the same team. And there may be, as horrible as it sounds, and I'm this is just my opinion, but you know, there are situations where they may not want harsh penalties for a member of their own family, especially if they are looking at it from a familial prism of, well, You know, he was horsing around and then got out of hand. Did he make a bad choice? Yes, but he's only 16. If it were a completely other family and this is happening and you find out your daughter's killed by some, you know, family member of another family that she went on this cruise with, and they're over here screaming, find justice. They're over here shutting up. We don't want to talk. We don't, you know, I'm going to plead the fifth. That's got to make it a little more difficult. And does it, how does that affect charging? Does it affect charging at all when the folks that you're trying to seek justice for, including the dead woman, may not necessarily be, you know, shouting for justice?
I mean, that's not going to matter. We don't get to decide as citizens, like, oh, well, you know, yeah, some shit went down in our house, but we're good. You know, we don't want you to handle it because, you know, I mean, it was a family thing. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, if a crime was committed, a crime will be charged. You know, to me, kind of the bigger issue is going to be always trying to prove intent if, in fact, this kid's memory loss is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and again, we're getting into that whole realm of mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, or is this thing like, was this kid suffering from some mental illness that was undiagnosed, or was it diagnosed previously? Mm-hmm. Was it a situation where he literally has like dissociative amnesia? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there is a lot of documentation out there that that's a thing, you know, like it, not necessarily in the moment, but after the fact, like mm-hmm. where this thing happens. And you just can't remember shit. Like you just black out from it, you know, and the brain is doing what the brain does. It's trying to protect you psychologically. So it you know, blocks out memories of traumatic events. I mean, if that kind of shit is real, it makes it really, really challenging for any prosecutor looking at this to say, okay, you know, I don't even know which way to go with this because I don't know what we're going to be able to prove in terms of that side of it.
That's part of my argument is basically if he's got the amnesia, he's not saying anything, and you don't have basically supporting evidence. You don't have a family that's going to step up to the plate. Even if there is evidence, I'm not saying this is what's happening. I'm just throwing it out there as a scenario. A family that may be stepping up and saying, oh, yeah, there's a patterned history here of him being violent or having some sort of issue with her or being aggressive or having an attraction or whatever the hell it may be. You may not necessarily have that piece coming to the table. And if you don't have those pieces of evidence that are going to support the character and support the possible issue between these two characters in this story, and you just have the one kid saying, I have amnesia and I don't remember exactly what happened. Clearly the evidence shows there was a strangulation chokehold that went on here that killed her. Where do you go with it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a tough thing. I mean,
yeah.
End of the day, what I think probably will take place if a prosecuting attorney decides that they're going to take a swing at it, you know, or like, all right, well, we're going to charge them and we're going to let them, you know, them being the defense, try to figure out, we're going to say he intentionally killed her based on the facts and the evidence that we discovered. Look, we saw them come back into the cabin together at whatever, 10 p.m. and we never see her again. And they're the only two in the room. And she was asphyxiated. So she didn't do it to herself. We know he killed her. You know, this is, and more likely than not, what they typically do, they'll overcharge and then, you know, and they'll let the chips fall where they may. I mean, just from circumstantially, you know, the kid's got some legal problems.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like you said, there's going to be video of them coming back into the room, or if she came in first. Hour later, he comes in stumbling down the hallway, whatever, if he was able to score booze somewhere on the ship or whatever, you know, and then they see him come in and then they see him leave out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 25 minutes later, she doesn't follow, you know, they never see her leave the cabin again. So, I mean, they're going to build the timeline. They're going to be able to kind of figure out when this happened, and they're going to obviously be able to say, all right, well, we know what the cause of death is.
Yeah.
And
we're talking, yeah,
so many questions about it though. Like, like the thing that we haven't even touched on, this is a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. I mean, right. who has jurisdiction? Who has jurisdiction of this thing?
Yeah. We are talking with Bob Mata, defense attorney, about the Anna Kempner case. This is the 18-year-old girl who was found underneath a bed on the Carnival Horizon by housekeeping. Later determined that she was killed by asphyxiation, essentially. The suspect at this point right now is a 16-year-old step-sibling who was sharing the room with her. And there's a lot of questions about what exactly happened in that room. What happened prior to this cruise? Was there warning signs that were ignored? Bob, is there any world where the 16-year-old walks away without criminal charges being filed against him? Is there any world where they can look at this, where the family is very adamant and we don't want to press charges? Not like they really have the choice of pressing or not here when someone's dead, but is there any world where they can look at this or they could may process this and go, horrible accident, over, you know, stimulated, over testosterone, asshole 16-year-old that was horsing around, did this chokehold, and it was a total fucking accident, but freaked out and then hid the body. Is there any way that there's no charges against this kid?
I don't think so. No. I really don't. You know, in terms of the fact that they know how she died, yeah, and it appears to be at the hands of another, and it appears to be that the only potential suspect is the stepbrother. I don't see how he's going to avoid charges. You know, being that he is a minor, you know, it's treated differently though. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's the question then becomes: are they going to try him as an adult, or are they going to try him as a minor? You know, if you were to ask my wife, she's always adamant that the kids whose brains are not fully formed, which a 16-year-old's brain is not fully formed, you know, that they should never be charged as an adult, you know, but they do it. We see it all the time. They charge kids in some of these cases that are just brutal as adults. You know, so that'll be the first question that they're going to have to try to wrangle with, whether or not they charge him as a minor or as an adult, and then kind of move from there. But I cannot see any set of circumstances based on the fact that they know that she was choked out.
Yeah.
Or that he's not going to get charged.
Reports are that he was an emotional wreck once they discovered the body.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, obvious. Yeah, right? Well, I mean, well, you could have a very stoic, you know, he could have been in the buffet line, you know, for more tacos or something. And like, hey, we found a body in your room. It's your step-sibling. Okay, great. Do they have the green salsa, though? Yeah, I mean, you could have that. So the fact that you do have someone that is showing remorse and isn't co-burgering it. Right. That's a good thing. I mean, it's not a good thing, but it shows
empathy. You know,
empathy. It shows recognition that something horrible took place,
or just complete delusion that he thought that somehow,
yeah,
nobody was going to figure this shit out.
True. Yeah, that's true too.
And he's like, oh, you know, like, I don't know.
What are the tears for? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, to me, clearly this was an interior cabin. I'm assuming this was an interior cabin because I have a sneaking suspicion that
the body might have gone off the side.
That's right. You know, like I think that's probably what, you know, so I'm assuming it's interior cabin. They didn't have the sliding door and the little balcony to toss her over. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think that the kids, That's going to be the interesting part to see where this thing goes from the psychological evaluation of the kid side of it, you know, just to figure out what the hell was going on with them.
I've been on cruises in the past, and Tony, I know you've gone on them, and they're lovely vacations, but there's just this slight danger lurking. Like if you want to get rid of somebody, just shove them overboard. I mean,
right. It's hard to disprove it.
Yeah.
Well, like, oh, I don't know. She was leaning over and fucking just fell over.
The deck was wet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there is that lurking sense of doom on cruise ships sometimes. They're, you know, and they're dizzying, you know, especially the big ones. They're just like a huge maze of hallways, and it's, I don't know.
There's so much unknown about them. I mean, from the weather to what kind of a group of people end up on the ship at the same time. There's so many variables that it just, to me, seems like the perfect playground for somebody who wants to do something nefarious.
Yeah.
But you're on camera everywhere. I mean, you could do something. There are prisons. There are not prisons, but there are jail cells on cruise ships.
Not the Love Boat anymore, folks.
No, it's not. But let's talk about that a little bit. The fact that this did all take place at sea. How does that play into the legality of all of this, into jurisdiction, into how this goes forward, if at all?
It's a fascinating question, really. So kind of preparing for this, because I don't do maritime law, but in terms of the jurisdiction, what I was able to kind of dig up is that most cruise ships are flagged. So they have a flag or a registration in whatever country is kind of their, you know, they elect to have as their home base, like whether it's the Bahamas or Panama or whatever, and it could be for various reasons, taxes, you know, the places that most are you know,
almost none are registered to the U.S. I think there's one cruise ship. Yeah, there's one I think that is registered, and that's like it.
Liberia.
Everything's like Nassau or other countries for the most part.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have the flag state or country is going to have the primary jurisdiction under maritime law. You know, but that the problem with that is it conflicts with the reality. Practical reality of it, like who's conducting the investigation at this point. I mean, you know, it's like, and it also depends on where the death occurred. So they're going to have to really try to narrow it down. If it's territorial waters, like say for instance, if they were in a port of call, you know, and I think the rule is if they're within 12 nautical miles of a coast, that country has jurisdiction. Wherever they may have gone in as a port of call. If it's out international waters, it's going to be the flag state. If they were on the way home and they were getting in closer to U.S. territory, or they were in U.S. territorial waters, U.S. has jurisdiction. So, I mean, it's going to depend on a lot on the timeline that they're able to build in terms of who is going to be handling this.
It's something like this. No matter what, there's a tragedy. People want to point fingers. People want to blame somebody. People want a boogeyman and everything, where if only this happened, if only this was done better, this couldn't have happened. And because in reality, that's the truth. And I think a lot of folks are starting to look inward here at the family and at the parents and at the decision-making processes. And there's a lot to glean off of the information that we've already gotten about this family, of maybe not the best choices have been made in the past. Again, nothing necessarily to do with the cruise itself, but a pattern of behavior nonetheless. Let me ask this, is there or could there be any sort of liability criminally for the parents if they had known that there was a threat to Anna, that there was issues with this boy and her? And here's another one to throw into the mix. She's 18, he's 16, she's technically an adult, but they were put into the same room together. Could there be any sort of issues there for parents if they basically ignored warning signs that there could be some sort of danger to her, not even necessarily death, but if some of the rumors that are flying around turn out to be true, that Anna feared of some sort of issue with the 16-year-old having some sort of an interest in her in some inappropriate way, and the parents still ignored it. And this all scenario, not saying they did. I'm just curious if that can be proven. Could they face their own charges for putting them into a dangerous place?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not anything related to the homicide itself.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be,
there could be some endangerment type charges if they had knowledge, mm-hmm. you know. But foreseeability is always going to be the issue with that. You know, was it reasonably foreseeable for them to know that something like that would happen? I think the more likely scenario will be, because I'm assuming that the family is like, where the fuck is Anna? To him,
yeah,
you know, yeah, like, yeah. They, right. Yeah. Like I don't know what the time frame was, like the gap in time, mm-hmm. like from the point where,
you know, basically the evening to the morning. When the morning, she's not showing up to anything.
Okay,
and then housekeeping gets in there, and the cleaning crew gets it, checks it in the morning. Basically,
I mean, so the kid was, you know, too fucking stupid to even put the "I'm good, don't clean my cabin" shit on his
right, floor. Right. And I'm actually quite encouraged that the cleaning crew looked under the bed.
Yeah,
rock on
for sure. I mean, maybe it was one of the, maybe don't be too excited, because it could have been like a
leg hanging out
or a pull out couch type situation. Okay. They were just putting the couch back in, you know. So I can't really see what they would go after the parents for in terms
do they, because she's 18 as well,
right?
So she's technically an adult. She's still in high school. So there, and that's, there's a differential there. Yes, 18, but when you're still in school, there are certain things where yes, they are an adult, but still kind of technically a minor, depending on whatever it is we're actually talking about in terms of responsibility for the parents. I have no idea how that plays out here.
Yeah, I don't either. It's going to be... there's so many factors involved in terms of how this thing went down, you know, and until they are able to really kind of, and again, who was the cruise line? Do we know?
Carnival.
All right. So if it's a U.S. cruise line, I mean, I think that the feds will be able to investigate it.
Yeah. The FBI is on it. The FBI.
Yeah. The feds are going to be in there because it's U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. And then, once they decide where they're going to prosecute it, they, you know, under maritime statutes, are going to be able to do it theoretically in a U.S. court. So if, as long as it's a U.S. cruise line, mm-hmm. the Carnival certainly is that. I think that they'll take precedent over whoever the flag state is, I think. So, because if the feds are looking at it, then, you know, but in terms of what they're going to do with it, I mean, you can feel secure in the fact that the feds are going to be investigating it way more thoroughly than, say, like the Bahamian police would have, sure. or the Panamanian police, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Or whatever flag country would have been conducting the investigation. Because it's like when you think about that Amy Bradley case, which was so weird, you know, mm-hmm. that investigation was awful. You know, I mean, in the
very family. Different time, though, too. That almost three decades ago.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I don't know how much maritime law has changed mm-hmm. in all those years in terms of, you know, because jurisdiction's everything, mm-hmm. you know, really. So in terms of whether or not they're going to be able to, again, charge those parents with anything. I can't think of anything other than if they became aware that something had happened. And I mean, because it seems that a conversation took place. Mm-hmm. Because I like the way that it goes down. So the cleaning crew cleans the cabin. They find her. Like, at what point does grandma have this conversation with the kid?
Well, what happens, let me clear that up for you. So the grandparents are on the cruise. I just did an interview the other day. They were talking about that they had said to the family, this is what they're claiming, that, you know, hey, you know, all the kids, everything seems to be, you know, okay together. But if anybody needs to, you know, any, you know, issues, you know, you can always come to our room. There's, you know, we'll figure any problems out. They're sitting there in the morning, and then they hear the call over the loudspeaker that there's a medical emergency in room, whatever the room number is. They know that room number. It's that room number. It's their grandkids' room number. And they're like, what the hell? They end up finding out what happened. The grandmother says that she was there for part of the time when some of the initial questioning was going on. And this is where she had gleaned that he had said he doesn't remember anything about that moment in time. And it's also where she gleaned that he was basically an emotional wreck. So she physically saw those things and audibly heard those things take place before or during that process of once they got back onto land or whatever that was going on while the initial questioning was going on and trying to figure out what is that place.
A biological grandparent to the boy?
I believe or, to her. I could be
to Anna.
I could be incorrect, but it's
we need the whiteboard to figure out
who's because all those things matter.
Yeah,
sure.
Right? Yeah. Like so it would seem to me
I believe it was Anna's.
So the victims, which is strange that like how long had this family been blended? Like how long were these the parents married?
This is his third marriage, and it wasn't super long. I believe it's been in the last few years, if I'm correct on that. There was a previous marriage, which had been to the allegations floating around her that it was, and these are the allegations, was that it was the previous babysitter. There had been a dismissed claim that had been brought by second wife's mother when she was a minor. I can't say that. We don't know that it was the second wife's, but it was the mother of the second wife. We don't know who the claim was about earlier on. We're assuming that it probably was the second wife of some sort of unlawful thing going on between dad and the 15-year-old. But then when she turns 18, they get married. Now, if that is the exact same person that the dropped allegations or things are about, we don't know, but it's the same family. It's the same mother. It's the same last name. It's the same whoever the person is that turned 18 years old came from the same house where those allegations had been flowing that were dismissed early on. So that's another part of the dynamic is growing up. Mom is gone. Mom turns into a drug addict. Mom flees to Oklahoma with her boyfriend when Anna is four. Dad then essentially marries, from what we're understanding here, allegedly, the 18-year-old who might have been the previous babysitter. And then she's mom for many years. They eventually get divorced after, I believe, more than 10 years, and two more kids come into the world. And then this is the new wife that is on the cruise with her own children, as well as the kids from the second marriage in Anna.
This is the worst version of the Brady Bunch I've ever heard in my life.
So this is an episode of Springer.
All right, wait a second. It is definitely an episode of Springer. So who's the mother to the kid, the stepson? Is it the new wife or is it the second
wife? Yes. Yes, it's the new wife.
Okay. So that's one of her kids. So that's why she's clamming up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then obviously, and
there's a custody battle going on there with her ex. And that's why she's pleading the fifth, because it could affect the custody battle. And the father of those kids is trying to file an emergency injunction to get custody of his daughter, because he's claiming allegedly that it's not a safe or good environment for her to be living in with this family. And I would say that's a pretty strong argument.
I mean, it got a lot stronger after this cruise. A
little bit. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, it sounds like pay, too, with child support and all kinds of other crap going on behind the scenes. You know, just a little icing on the cake.
Yeah, man, what a mess. It's a really strange, simple case
with a lot of crazy family dynamics.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you have a camera, you have key cards, you can determine who was in and out of this room, and there's only one answer to then what happened, to who did what to who.
Yeah.
That's pretty straightforward.
I mean,
but then you look at the chaos surrounding all this, and then that's what makes you go, oh, that's why this happened. This, the collective chaos of a family unit that is enthralled in this type of life, where it's just Band-Aid after Band-Aid and bad decision after bad decision. And good times, bad times. I mean, every family is different. Every family has their levels of chaos to them. This one's happened to have a lot of it, it seems. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it makes you really feel bad for Anna and, you know, the life that she was growing up around and what she saw as being normal. And then it's not, I guess, shocking then when something like this happens out of a family with that level of chaos in it.
Yeah. I mean, the blended families are obviously not a rare thing.
No.
You know, but like from kind of from birth to, you know, when she's four and her mom's an addict and leaves her, you know, I mean, she's had a rough go of it and, you know, dad marrying multiple times. And that's just an injection of other kids coming into it. And there's no sense of stability. And it's just, yeah, it's sad.
It's chaotic even when you're doing it calmly.
It
it's chaotic even when it's like fairly smooth sailing, you know, and that's, I mean, I just got engaged and I'm, you know, so we're having a blended family, but it's, you know, there it's chaos then, but it's controlled chaos, you know, and that's the difference, I think, in a lot of these cases. So overall, it's a heartbreaking case, something that clearly, there seems to be a lot of signs it was avoidable. This certainly didn't have to happen. Why did it happen? Is there someone you can truly point the finger at and blame for putting these people in these situations? I don't know if you can go that far. Clearly, someone is to blame for wrapping their arm around this young girl and killing her. But beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah,
how much you can blame the chaos.
I don't know either. And, you know, if you just remove the ship from the equation and it had happened at the house,
you know, I don't think nobody would be hearing about this.
Right. I mean, it would be just like, right. It was that factor. Cause I mean, it could have been a thing where he's simply, you know, they're wrestling or maybe he was getting weird sexually with her and she's like, you know, get the fuck off me. And then throws her in a chokehold and he doesn't realize he's killing her.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's where it ends.
I heard plenty of dumbass 16-year-olds, you know, that would do that sort of shit, the chokehold stuff. And, you know, and people would be like nearly dying. And then they're, oh, okay, well, let go. And then it was just like, oh, they're just 16. They have so much testosterone. And it's just kind of like brushed off, like boys will be boys.
Yeah, you know,
and it's like killers will be killers someday, too.
Like Lenny, yeah. Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Thank you. I was thinking Lenny. Oh, my God. I don't know my own strength. I mean, how big is this guy? That's my question.
Yeah.
You know, is he so big that he doesn't understand his strength? I remember being at a live broadcast in radio and we had a listener who was challenged and he was a very large boy and he would come up and give you a bear hug and he cracked one of my ribs once. He didn't know.
Yeah.
He had no idea. And I'm like, I am in so much pain. Well, finally went and got an x-ray and I had a cracked rib.
Yeah.
From his bear hug. He just thought he was just, ooh, I love listening to you in the morning and came up from behind, gave a hug, didn't know.
Yeah, it's shocking, you know, what some folks are completely unaware of. I just watched the video of Anna's mother, which is another video that you can watch here on the channel. And the chaos in that, again, she wasn't on the cruise. She had nothing to do really with the daughter much. But you just watch it and go, God, everywhere young Anna Kempner looked, there was not any light shining from the places that it should have been.
Yeah.
And that's a real set. But it sounds really, and the real tragic part is it sounds like she did have quite a light. She knew what she wanted to do. She wanted to go into the military. She was planning for this. She was planning for that. She had, it seemed, you know, she might have been the bright star that was going to break out of the dark family.
Yeah.
And had some good direction despite all of the limitations that had been dealt to her, but then was taken out by a very poor decision or possibly even worse.
Yeah,
that's the scary part.
Sad.
Bob, yeah, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. And if you are out there right now, I was posting about this on Saturday night after I had Thanksgiving with my new future in-laws.
Hey.
I was sitting down having a beverage or two at the bar, and I was going through stuff. I'm like, oh, you got some new episodes there of Buried. So please do go check out Buried if you're going on a road trip over the next handful of days. How many episodes? Like 17? Is that where you're?
I think 18 dropped early this morning. So
okay.
Yeah, wow.
There's a lot out there. A lot out.
Binge
there.
Away.
Yes.
Buried. Binge Away.
It's great. Yeah. It's great.
It is available right now. The John Wayne Gacy. Buried. Quote the John. What is the?
The John Wayne, inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation.
Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. Buried. Yes. Inside the John Wayne. I always miss the word inside. Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. Of course, also Defense Diaries, your other podcast. So do check that out. Awesome. All right. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacey, for Bob, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 daily double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 daily double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 daily double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.